Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. We are continuing our study here in the Gospel according to John. Jesus is, preaching the Gospel. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." He doesn't merely say that he that hath my commandments, but he says and keepeth them. What are his commandments? A lot of people think, Jesus did away with the law. But he says, I didn't come to do away with the law. The law and the commandments are written in his word. So we know that pleases him. We have a God who never changes. We have in the beginning of John, it says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by him, and through him was not anything made that was made." This is his word, the entire word of God, the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation is his word, and he changes not. He expects us to have his commandments and keepeth them. He says, if we have his commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. Now he said that he called Judas a thief. He said he's a thief. He doesn't care about the poor when he made the remark about the ointment. Was Judas a keeper of his commandments? Did Judas know the commandments? Well, he probably knew that theft was wrong, but he was stealing anyway. I mean, he wasn't just stealing. He was stealing from God. So he wasn't keeping them, was he? And what did Jesus say about that? That Judas didn't love him because he didn't keep the commandments. So it's because he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want the love of the Father? Well, then you have to love the Son. How do we know we love the Son? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So it's very important to me to learn obedience, to keep his commandments. That's what repentance is all about. It's the only gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he preached. It's what he's preaching right now. This is the gospel of the kingdom, in other words. It's the same gospel he preached. Read through Matthew. He went about preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And that's all he's saying here. "He that hath my commandments and keep them." Well, how are we going to keep them? It's not in us. It's not in our flesh. We have to repent. And through repentance, we learn obedience. We keep his commandments. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Has he manifested himself to you? Well, Judas, there's one that doesn't believe, obviously, doesn't keep his commandments, who's going to betray him. "Judas saith unto him," oh no, this is a different one, not Iscariot. They had to put that in their qualifier, because Judas was actually, I think the name is not Judas, but it's Judah. But anyway, that's our Yahuda. Yeah, Judah. And also they've interpreted Jude in some places. But "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot. Got to qualify that. So it wasn't Judas Iscariot. It was another Judas. "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world?" It does seem like an unlikely question for Judas. He would be thinking about other things, like what he's going to do with all the money he's stealing. Yes. And what does a thief think about? Whatever his covetous heart desires, right? So I guess this would be an unlikely question for a thief or a covetous person. "How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." It's just kind of saying the same things again about where my Father lives, there's a lot of room, you say. You know, where it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, he was preparing that place by his own death so that we could cross over and receive and walk into that place spiritually now, you know. And of course, with the resurrection, enter in that place to never, you know, to leave it. And so he says it again. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, Jesus, he spoke a lot of word to them. And whatever they might have heard of the reading, a studying of God's word that was in the temple, the Old Testament Bible, the Holy Spirit, he says, will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay. Does the Holy Spirit bring you new revelation? Think about that for a minute. It says, the Holy Ghost is going to come, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So, if you want the Holy Spirit to bring something to your remembrance, that means you have to have heard it first, or read it, or somehow had known it before. Otherwise, how can you remember what you don't know? Well, you can't remember what you don't know. Can you? This is why it's so important. Why Paul said, study to show yourselves approved. Because the Holy Spirit, you get that word in you. You read the word from cover to cover. You listen to the word every chance you get. Then, when the time is appropriate, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance whatever is appropriate for the situation that you're in at whatever time it is that he needs to bring something to remembrance. He shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, verse 27. Chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The Gospel of John. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Are there branches in Jesus? He says he's the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. Are there branches in him that don't bear fruit and he takes them away? Well, I think there's a lot of branches out here today that don't bear fruit because they bear the fruit of the world instead. They propose. It's like that, you know, several pop rock, Christian pop rock stars that have come out for sodomy and proclaimed their liberty in Christ to sin, you know. Really licentiousness. Well, they're still there. They still appear to be there. When is he going to take them away? Well, they will not appear in the resurrection. They will be taken away. I mean, that's the taking away. That's the one you don't want to be in. You don't want to be in that taking away. You want to be part of those that last, okay? That bear fruit, the fruit, his fruit, and not the fruit of the world. He says you can judge a tree by its fruit. So every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he says, that it might bring forth more fruit. Oh, ouch. You know, he's talking about, of course, pruning it. Yes, and the pruning, I have to admit, I'm glad to say that I'm being pruned. That means I'm bearing fruit, and I want to bring forth more fruit. And I'm going to stick around to bring forth as much fruit as I can, because I don't want my branch, you know, to be taken away, or twig, or whatever I am, you know, on his vine. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, that is, you have his commandments and keep them. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, a lot of people think they can read this and then they think they can just go out and do whatever Jesus did. However, a lot of this we can, you know, is here for our instruction. A lot of it applies to us, but not all of it. You got to pay attention to the grammar here. He keeps saying ye and not whosoever. There's a big difference between ye and whosoever. If I say ye are to do this thing today, you know, if ye do this thing, I will do such and such. You know, that means whoever I'm speaking to, if I'm looking at your face, you are the ye. But if someone else hears it or reads about it later, it should say whosoever if it's going to apply to them. So I'm not sure. This may apply, but this is not a blanket of application for everyone that is a Christian. That's all I'm saying, is that the things that Jesus did, the disciples would do, and they did. It's demonstrated that the ye is applicable in this case. Now, we can apply a lot of this. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you know, well, we can apply, we need to abide in him. We can abide in him, and his words can abide in him. But he says, ye shall ask what ye will. He doesn't say whosoever shall ask, whatever they want, it shall be done unto them. See, that's not the language here. So can we expect miracles? No, we can't. We can't go out and teach people how to do miracles, as if these words that I'm reading here are some kind of prescription or instruction on how we can go out and do these things. Does God do miracles? Well, I have to say yes, you know, and I say it again, but he is not speaking to whosoever here. He's not speaking to me. There's a message here for me, but these words are not to me. I can derive from them, you know, I can be exhorted, comforted, instructed, but the instruction is not specifically to me. It's to ye. It's to his disciples, those men that he is talking to right there. He says, he continues, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's preparing them for his departure, and certainly they don't really understand it. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So what's he saying? Like Judas, the thief, who didn't care for the poor, right? The thief who didn't care for the poor. Was he Jesus' friend? Well, I don't think so. Because Jesus never commanded him to steal. But he was a thief. He stole. That's why he was worried about, the ointment that wasn't converted into money for the poor to go in his bag that he was holding. He says, henceforth, I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now Jesus is saying, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, the disciples, these 12 apostles, all right, they were just men like us. Of course, they were Hebrew men, perhaps devout, perhaps some of them were not so devout. They were ordinary men. Should we worship them? Should we venerate them, make statues of them, and pray to them? No. They were men. It could have been me if I had been born and lived in that place, in that culture. I could have been one of those. They were just ordinary men. They weren't worshipful. Men that we should worship. Certainly I want to meet them. They're famous. They walked with Jesus. They got to do what I didn't get to do. And some of them, they were blind up until the time that Jesus rose from the dead and confronted them. Even they didn't believe when Mary came back from the grave and told them. They thought, you're nuts. You're crazy. That didn't happen. He's dead. They were just ordinary men. And he says it here, you haven't chosen me like you're something great, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He ordained them that you should go and bring forth much fruit. He ordained them for the mission of being, the next step in preaching the gospel to the whole world. He ordains us and he chooses us even today. But it's not about the men. It's him that is glorified. If he isn't glorified, then there's something wrong. He continues, these things I commanded you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And he has chosen us out of the world. He is present today. Remember he told them, I depart, and you'll see me no more, but then afterwards you'll see me. Well, that's how we see him. Not with our physical eyes. They got to see him again with their physical eyes, but we don't see him with our physical eyes. Just as some girl had a dream of what Jesus looked like and painted it, doesn't mean that I know what he looks like. That might not even be true. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know what he looked like, but I will know what he looked like when I see him. It doesn't matter what he looks like. I believe that God has withheld an image of himself because, one, he doesn't want people worshiping images. People would worship the image rather than the true. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I'm more blessed than those who claim they've gone to heaven and sat on Jesus' lap or whatever, you know, all of these fantastic stories I hear. Well, Jesus said, I'm blessed. Blessed is he. They've seen. I haven't. I believe. What do they believe in? What they've seen? I believe, even though I haven't seen. He said, blessed are those who, having not seen, yet believe. I'll be one of those. That's what faith is all about. It's easy to believe what you see, but believe in something you don't see? That's a little difficult, isn't it? That takes faith. Remember that the word, John 15:20, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen. That's right. If I preach the word of God to someone, they won't reject it. And there are some out there that call themselves Christians. And when I preach the word to them, they reject it. Why? Because they continue in their sins. They haven't really seen God. They've seen something else. They've had a vision or they had an experience. And they believe in their vision and their experience, and that's what their faith is based upon. What do I believe in? God's word. I don't need a vision. I'm afraid of a vision. I become the arbiter of that, what that vision is, or that experience. I don't need an experience. I don't need to be slain in the spirit and have some kind of other world experience, because I would be the arbiter of what that experience is and what it means, whether it's real or not, where it came from. I would have to decide all of that, because I can't look in God's word and read, and they have instruction for that. So that makes me the arbiter of that experience. And if I'm the arbiter, well, whose word is it? It's mine. My faith is in an experience and what I believe about it. It's not in the word of God. Be careful when you're talking about experiential Christianity and you're constantly chasing experiences. A lot of your experience is just endorphins. That's right. People become addicted on their own endorphins. And then they believe that that is the Spirit of God moving in them, when all they've had is a physical experience. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. When you speak the truth to someone, when you point to their sin and you ask them humbly to repent, and they reject it, they have no cloak for their sin. They have no place to hide when they reject the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Been listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and be sure to subscribe there. Thank you very much. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you.